What is Peace Brain? Peace Brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics, open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth, and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash, and I'm happy to have you here today. Today we have Reverend Henrietta Byrd with us to share about the powerful topic of what is the International Black Summit and how it has evolved over the last 25 years. It's an amazing organization. I know you're going to love meeting Henrietta and learning about the summit. Also, of course, please stay tuned to the end of the show because we have our transformational Peace Brain meditation, and we'd love to have you be a part of that as well. So now, as I open every show, I want to first open with a quote, and this one is from Maureen Moss, who is a multi-published author, a keynote motivational speaker, and as she describes herself, a catalyst for the evolution in the human soul. And this is a quote by Maureen Moss from April 2007, and it goes like this. All of humanity is in a new phase of human life, and it is called the seed time of the new world consciousness. Consider the void you may be experiencing as a womb, where the new and glorious birth will take place when properly seeded and nurtured. It is your dearest hearts, it is you, dearest hearts, who will seed the void inside of yourselves carefully, clearly, intentionally, and consciously. Every single one of us has been given an opportunity as a result of the forceful, almost violent energies at times this past month to clear our energetic fields and our internal landscape so that we are able to plant in the womb of the void, the garden of reality that we have lived and longed for. The energies have settled down so that the seeds are planted will not be blown away. We are asked to place ourselves in the very high state of consciousness where we cast our seeds into the void, and then to be patient and calm as the new growth springs forth, and it will. Remember, everything gestates and grows in the dark, be it a seed or an idea, a butterfly or a baby. The void is truly a place of grace and growth. It is something fresh and new inside of us, and it takes our full heart, not our minds, to embrace it and to work with it rather than be frightened by it. Now, that's the quote from Maureen Moss. I love this quote because it really talks about how we are to raise our consciousness and to take these seeds of who we are, of our authentic self, and place them out there in the void. And then really be patient. You know, it's very much like one of my teachers told me, when you put it out there as a creator to really be creating who you are and what you want in life, it's like ordering your food from a restaurant. You know, you put in your order with the waiter, the waitress, and you have to wait. And you have to sit back, but you know the food will come because that's your experience, and you know that you can put in that order and it will come to you. And many times when we start to create ourselves or plant those seeds in the dark, the doubts begin to creep in. Is it really going to happen? Do I deserve it? How can I get this? Am I really going to get this when I'm planting? Is it going to grow? Well, have faith. It will grow. It's you who are in charge of that. You be nurturing and patient and continue to, as she said, embrace it and work with it rather than being frightened with it. Work with the void and know that that's where all of our creativity and our experiences ultimately are born. So I love this quote, and it talks about not only us as a collective have planted the seeds of this new world consciousness, but of course that we're planting the seed for, as she points out, the reality that we've longed for, we've lived for, and we've longed for. We all long for this peace on earth and creating this new reality. And of course, it is time. It is time, and the world is changing very rapidly. As I said, this quote was in 2007. This is 2016, and we've come a long way. And we still have some ways to go. So let me turn it to what this show is about today. And I met this wonderful lady just these last few days ago, Reverend Henrietta Byrd. She is a delightful person, and I have a bio to read about her. And we're going to be ultimately talking about something she brought to my attention, which is the International Black Summit. And it sounds fabulous, and I think you will enjoy it, of not only how people of African descent are coming together all over the world, but also how the world community can support this and also be a part of it. So let me read Reverend Henrietta Byrd's bio, and it's a little long, but it's fabulous here, so you can get a sense of who she is, and then we will bring her on the show. So, hold on just a second here. All right. Henrietta says, and this is what she writes about herself. So I love what she's written here. And it says, I love bringing people together to have fun and share in each other's genius. As an entertainment stylist, I have experienced some of the greatest people, and I have traveled in some of the most wonderful places as a specialist in the field of cosmetology sciences. My ordination increased my opportunity to work with the families that were experiencing the transition of a loved one. As I began to work with these families, my interest in forgiveness increased. The need for people to forgive themselves and others, as well as the need to know how to forgive, became more and more apparent to me. My ministry became focused on the power of self-forgiveness. She goes on to say, through transformation workshops, I focus on self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness is transforming and leads to transformation. Transformation is freedom. Transformation is growth. Transformation is allowing God, the Creator, the Divine Mind, the Absolute, and the Almighty to move in and through you in such a way that you experience that your experiences become unlimited. I regularly use my forgiveness tools that lead me to the realization that I create my own reality. This realization has literally set me free. In the transformation workshops and forgiveness tools are given, explained, and participants use them, is monitored for weeks. Oh, I think I read that wrong. In the transformation workshops, the forgiveness tools are given, explained, and participants use them, and it's monitored for weeks. Forgiveness is a love and practice of mine. I cherish even more the opportunity of sharing what I've learned with others. The transformation workshops help me to help others transform their lives by giving them a deeper understanding of how to use the forgiveness tools and how to use, with the understanding, the principle, God is all there is. And she goes on to say that Reverend Bird is currently serves as the team leader for the leadership body and the leadership council for the conversation of the International Black Summit. Her transformative work has expanded to the country of Belize in Central America, where she does Sunday morning inspirational segments on KRME radio. Reverend Bird's passion is in having individuals choose life enhancement no matter their diagnosis, circumstances, or experiences. Wow. Thank you, Reverend Henrietta Bird, for being on the show this morning, today. welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it's always interesting listening to your bio, right?
It is.
That's an experience in itself, just listen. Well, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, I'm happy to have you on the Peace Brain Show on BBS Radio. This is really wonderful. So, you know, I want to get to talking about the International Summit in just a minute, but in reading your bio, you're talking about these forgiveness workshops. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my organization is Transformative Talk. That's my personal organization. And what that includes is radio shows on Blog Talk. It includes gatherings where we engage, where the people in the gatherings engage in certain questions, certain conversations. We have relationship workshops, and I call them workshops because the people do the work. We gather people, and then we'll, I'll ask questions, and the people respond to those questions based on their experiences. And the people are strategically invited to those workshops. There may be a workshop with all women and two or three men, and we reverse it sometimes. There can be gatherings with people of all one profession where we determine certain topics based on their experiences. So they're workshops that we do to clear the participants. And I have a partner, Sean Wallace, in the relationship workshop segment of Transformative Talk. I also have a partner, Carolyn Wales, in the International Black Summit team leader. Carolyn and I are co-team leaders. And so it just depends on what an organization or what a group of people are requesting. And we design Transformative Talk. We'll design the workshop for the, based on the request of the organization or the participant. I do individual coaching. There's something about coaching that, I hesitate when I say it, but it's more facilitation because or guidance. A person may be on a certain path and they get stuck in a particular way of being. And so the facilitation is to allow that individual to see, I'm stuck here, and for them to see why they're stuck. Another person that I work with is Eric Gilmore, who wrote the book, Why Am I Stuck? And I will, engage in conversation so the individual can see, first of all, that they're stuck, and then how they're stuck, what got them in this position, and then find their way out so that they can continue on the path that they, that they created and began for themselves. So That's one piece of it. The forgiveness piece actually came over it's been a long time, 20 some years now. And my good friend, Meredith Spears, and I, we engage in conversations about forgiveness regularly. And from our conversations and from my experience being a minister and visiting people who have been given these certain diagnoses and having these physical challenges, I learned that the diagnosis, the worst diagnosis, the diagnosis that is much more serious than the one the doctor gives us, is the one that we give ourselves. And we, as a people, and I'm talking about the entire race of people, all people, we are so extreme when it comes to judging ourselves. We can be. That because of our judgment of ourselves, when the doctor says this might work or that might work, we don't even hear it. We don't even hear the possibility sometimes. Sometimes all we hear is our judgment of ourselves, and nothing else can be heard. And we get into that state because of a lot of experiences that we've judged as wrong or bad or traumatic, or we've experienced. You know, we've experienced certain things, and they were so difficult that the only thing that we could come up with is a judgment, and that judgment gives us the right to be wrong.
And no, what do you mean, gives us the right to be wrong?
It gives us the right to be wrong. So if I am divorced, for example, if I have a divorce, and the divorce was caused by something, if I say the divorce was caused by something that society says is wrong, I don't look at it as something that occurred and I've chosen to divorce. I look at it as something that I had to do, because if I didn't do it, I would not be what I was created to be. And society would say that I am, oh, you're crazy. Why would you stay in that? Why would you be with someone who did that? Why would, you know, like it's all out there. And deep inside, I really am present to forgiveness, or I'm present to, that doesn't really have anything to do with me, what the other person chose to do. But I will, in this example, and I hope I'm being clear here, and if not, just let me know. in an example like divorce, where one of the people decides to do something that was not in agreement or alignment with the divorce, I mean with the marriage, excuse me, with the marriage, one individual can be so down on themselves that the fact that another person has chosen to do a thing like go outside the marriage for whatever reason and do whatever, judge themselves so harshly that they make themselves wrong. And because the other person did it, they have the right to be wrong. Well, I've got a right to be angry. I've got a right to be upset. I've got a right to not participate in life anymore. I have this right because of this thing that occurred in my life. you know, because my parents divorced, I have a right not to want to love anyone because, you know, we create.
I get it. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So that's what I mean by that. We give ourselves the right to be wrong. And in that, inside of that, it stops us from living. And so in the bio where you said, where it said, I want people to choose life, you know, rather than death. And when we take those harsh stances on any issue that involves ourselves, and it makes us inflexible, and it makes us stop living. And anytime you stop living, you're dying. And so that's what I really want people to get, that we have choice. And we can choose to live no matter what has occurred in our lives.
Oh, that's fabulous. That makes total sense. It does. Because as long as we're still here on the earth, we really do need to choose living.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have gifts to give. So these transformation workshops and forgiveness tools, you mentioned you do them with some partners and that they are available. Normally I do all this, you know, here's how to find our guest speaker at the end of the show, but could you tell us like a website or how people could learn more about this from you, Henrietta?
The best way is to send me an email, and the email, my email address is transformativetalk@gmail.com. Transformativetalk@gmail.com.
Okay.
And let me know what you're thinking about, what you're feeling, and we'll design it.
transformativetalk@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for going into that because you're absolutely right. We all get into judgment of ourselves and start believing things about ourselves that are just not true of who we are as a spiritual being and a person. And we need to get back on the right track. I neglected to introduce in your bio that you are an ordained minister, a new thought minister whose focus is in metaphysics. So that's right up an alley that I love to be in myself. So that's wonderful to be able to use these metaphysical tools and I'm sure many more that you add in your workshops. Any thoughts or comments on that, new thought minister or metaphysics that you want to share?
I am ordained as a minister with the Universal Foundation for Better Living Incorporated. It is an organization of new thought churches and study groups all over the United States and South America, and Virgin Islands as well. It is based on the practices of the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, who studied at Unity Village. And so our basis is basically the exact same as Unity. It has an African-American, well, not African-American, but an African flavor to what I'll say, people of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a separation from Unity, which created the Universal Foundation for Better Living in 1974. So all of our practices, I'll say, are exactly like Unity's practices. You know, we believe in one presence, one power, one activity, and that activity is God. And so I've been with this organization since 1979. 1980.
Wow.
And it's just a wonderful organization. We have a panorama of truth every year over the summer that brings all the churches together and brings mm-hmm. people together from all different religions. And it's a wonderful, wonderful organization. My church is Christ Universal Temple in Chicago, where the Reverend Derek Wells is the senior minister. And that's the church in which I serve along with the organization.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Yes, you are from Chicago, the beautiful city of Chicago.
I am. With all the snow and the 40 below zero weather.
Oh, my goodness.
Ask me about that. And I love it. There's something about Chicago that I'm always ready to go home to. I am mm-hmm. always ready to go home to. And I love the United States specifically. I love travel. I do go to other countries. I've worked in other countries for many years. And there's something about the United States of America that I truly love. I have two or three more states to visit, and then I will have visited all 50 states.
That's fantastic. Good for you. That's quite an accomplishment, actually.
Right. So I don't know if I answered that last question, but metaphysics.
You did.
I did. Okay, great. Thank you.
It's great. And I'm sure if our listeners have more questions, then I will repeat your email at the end. But I want to get into the fascinating talk that we had as a discussion these last few days on the International Black Summit. And I've got a flyer here, and I want to read the purpose of the summit just to our listeners. It says, the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the Black community and the world. So tell us something about the summit. What is it? Why is it important? Maybe how it began. I know those are big questions, but let's just touch on them at the moment, please.
Okay. Thank you. This is probably my favorite subject at this particular time of the year. The International Black Summit is a conversation. And it is a conversation that is given by life and to people of Black African descent to the world. And we find our expression in the Declaration of the International Black Summit, which is a document that was created in 1991 by people of Black African descent who were in transformation work, in different phases of transformation work, 26 years ago. And many of those people were doing work at Landmark Education. Well, that's what it's called today. It's called Landmark Education. And it's more transformation work. And so people gathered in 1991, because they decided, two women sitting at a bar talking after one of their classes or courses, I'll say, and decided, wouldn't this be great if we could do this for the Black community? And so they just created this in the moment, and they started a conversation with people of color all over the United States, and specifically people of Black African descent. And mm-hmm. so they gathered in Chicago and literally sent out a letter inviting people and asked people to invite their friends that were doing this work. And they gathered in Chicago and they started this conversation about having this kind of work, transformation work done in the Black community. And then in 1991, there was a gathering in Atlanta, Georgia, on October 7th. And as the people gathered, they decided that they would come up with a declaration of what this work would be about. And the declaration was created. And it was really interesting because as I was talking to Joe Hampton over this weekend, Joe reminded me that as we were sitting in the upper level of your office, and Joe was like, and we were in this conversation, and Joe was one of the people who was there in 1991, and he said, just like this, he said, there were people who went up to a higher level of whatever building they were in, and when they came downstairs, they had the declaration, and it was aligned on, which means everyone was present to it. They worked through the different logistics of it and where the I's and T's would be dotted and crossed and commas would be placed and, you know, all of that and the wording and all of that, and they came up with the declaration. And so the declaration of the International Black Summit is what we're about. And I'll recite it.
I started to say, would you like to share it? Please.
I will generate it in just a minute, but I want to tell you that the annual summit event is held in August, the first weekend in August every year. And in a place that we are aligned on. And when I say we, I mean whoever shows up. If there are 500 people that show up at the annual summit event, there are 500 people, or however many of that 500, are aligned on whatever we're going to do the following year or the next 2 years. Sometimes we'll do it 2 years out. And so the basis of the organization is not only the declaration, but it is also our alignment process, which means we don't do anything unless everybody is present to it. Now, people are amazed when I say that, because they're like, how can you get 50 people to align on something? And because it's not voting and it's not agreement. It's listening to spirit to see if what you are hearing, you are present to. That's an entire another show.
It is, you're right.
That's right, the alignment process. But I wanted to state that so people, the listeners, will understand the dynamic that's behind this organization. And so the declaration of the International Black Summit is like this. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, unity, integrity, with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth, We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And we are here again in Atlanta, Georgia. And
yes, we are.
May 23rd, correct?
24th.
24th, okay.
Mm-hmm.
May 24th.
Yes.
And this is 2016. And
exactly.
Then we'll recite, we include wherever people of African descent reside, in the north, the south, the east, and the west, above, below, and within. And then we ask for a moment of silence. And then we say thank you. And we begin every meeting, every conference call, every conversation with that declaration. And we end the day with that declaration at the annual summit event each day.
It's absolutely a beautiful declaration. And as I know, when I first heard it, I felt how expansive, how encompassing, how empowering, not only, of course, for the Black community, which is the main focus, but also for the whole world, because it is so important that that we create this unity and we create this empowerment and bring everyone together. So it, for me, hearing it is just so uplifting and amazing. I want to ask you about each conference. So this is a 25-year-old conference. You're celebrating, you celebrated the 25 years this year, and it moves around, as you had just indicated, to various places each year. Each conference has a question with it, and I'm intrigued because I was looking over the various summits that have happened, and of course, Belize in Central America is one of my most favorite places in the whole world and favorite people. And I see that the summit was in Belize, Central America, in 2014. And the core question was, in the space of silence, I discover some aspect of my authentic self. Will I grant being to what I am built for? And that question is very interesting because it goes along with the quote we started this show with about the void and planting the seeds. And so could you tell us something about these questions and how participants actually find those answers or share them both individually and collectively?
Absolutely. And I just want you to know, Dr. Gail, that is my favorite. That's my favorite question.
Oh my. Well, there you go. We're on the same page here.
Right. And I was gonna say pick one. I was gonna say just choose one. And my favorite. But every year, we come together and we're together for 3 days with four days with participants. We begin on Thursday with the prerequisite. And the prerequisite is a course that we offer that prepares you for the weekend. People can take the prerequisite anytime during the year. It's a virtual course and it's also an in-person course. Our next prerequisite is June 11th in New York, and people can do that course virtually. So we begin on Thursday. And with the prerequisite, and then Thursday night opening ceremonies, and it's for a community, and everyone is invited to that event. Friday is when the summit actually begins, and we go into our meeting space and literally stay in that space for 3 days. And we engage one another in questions. And the question, we might start off with an inquiry of, what did it take for you to get to the summit this year? or what is it that life has given you that you are not acknowledging? Or what is it that you don't want people to know about you? Questions like that. And the summit is a weekend that we hold the space for. And when I say we, I'm talking about the facilitator body of the International Black Summit.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership body, the different bodies of the summit. We hold the space for people to show up who are, who life is sending us, who we are being sent to. And during the weekend, in these different questions that we engage in, we find out different things about ourselves because it's about each individual. It's not the kind of summit where people come and speak. That's not what this is. We don't have any speakers. The people who speak are the participants. So if you register for the International Black Summit, the summit is about you. And you speak. And you don't only speak for yourself, you speak for others in the room, because the space that's being held is that people will come as contributions to the conversation. And what each individual contributes in their sharing of the inquiries is what contributes to the entire space,
mm-hmm.
which includes people from all over the world. And so in Belize, it was the weekend of their independence. And I'm trying to see, do they call it independence? They call it something else. Not Independence Weekend, but they have another name for it. But it's like our 4th of July here, but it's that first weekend in August in Belize. There were a lot of celebrations going on. There were a lot of different activities going on in Belize. And Belize was going through whatever it's going through, whatever it was going through at that particular time in that year. And the participants that spoke from Belize were so powerful that whenever we arrived at a particular place, we often had opportunities to go into the silence. And we would stop the conversation and we would sit in the silence.
Mm-hmm.
And after we sat in the silence, people would go to the mic and they would speak what Spirit had given them. And it was amazing the power that was generated in that room, based on what people heard from Spirit in the silence. And there was a gentleman, a wonderful gentleman, who was a community organizer. That's how I see him. And his concern was to make people aware of who they are to the degree that they would have good experiences in life. That's how I see him. And he had a nickname. His nickname was Sticks. And Sticks, right, he stood up, and when someone talked about introduced him or whatever, and he talked about the work that he was doing, he hit himself on the chest, like with an open hand. He said, "This is what I'm built for. I'm built for this." And that was his contribution. He was just speaking for himself based on a question he was asked by one of the facilitators. And that shifted the room when he did that.
I could feel it would. You're absolutely correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when he shifted, I mean, when he contributed, and we listen for the question, because we listen for the question, the facilitator body listens for the question at the end of the, you know, sometimes on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
once the facilitator will say, "It's time to listen for the question. Do you hear anything?" They will ask the other facilitators. And we also don't have leaders in the summit. We have people who hold the space. We refer to ourselves as team leaders, but what we actually do is hold the space.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing, you know, and so when I'm listed as a co-team leader for the leadership body, I actually hold the space for the leadership body.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain accountabilities that I have because of that. And so when we listen for the question and beliefs, the question always includes whatever the weekend was about. And so when it says, "In the space of silence, I discover some aspect of my authentic self, will I grant being to what I am built for?" That, you know, that question is almost like a blueprint for life. Like when in the space of silence, and we know that silence is that space where we shut down the chatter, where we don't allow the thoughts, we don't allow the feelings. We stop and we just be. And in that space, we discover something about ourselves that we didn't know. We didn't know we were great organizers. We may not know how devoted we are to our marriages. We may not know how powerful we are in the positions that we hold in life. But in that space of silence, we discover that. Then the third part, not the end, but the third part of the question says, "Will I grant being?" It asks us, "Will I grant being to that which I've discovered about myself? To what I am built for?" Because the what I am built for is a realization that we have to accept. See, spirit can show us things. We can discover this aspect of ourselves, but we may not accept that this is what we're built for. So when that third part of that declaration says, "Will I grant being to what I am built for?" That's
very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so for a year, we engaged in that. Actually, we probably are still engaging in that conversation.
That sounds like a conversation that could go on for your entire life.
Yeah,
so
I love from the people in Belize. It came from not just the people who participated in Belize, which includes people from all over the world.
Exactly. So let me pause you for a moment. These mm-hmm. are beautiful stories, and thank you for all of your wisdom that you've shared. We are getting toward the end of our show. and I want you to spend just a couple of minutes talking about the International Black Summit. Has been around for 25 years, and it is empowering people of African descent. You mentioned that you have community summits that involve white people, red people, brown people, you know, the other aspects of the human race. And so me as a white person, how can I look forward to being a part of this or being contributing or being in community with the people of the summit?
Well, I would ask, our website is blacksummit.org, www.blacksummit.org. And I would go to the website and I would send an email, let them know that you are interested in a community summit, that you are not a person of Black African descent, and you are interested in a community summit. And we will start a conversation with you about it. They're formulated differently in that the community must generate itself. And so as we align on different places and we go to those places for the annual summit event, like we're going to Ferguson, Missouri this year. The people of Ferguson may have called us for, but we are actually going in and doing the work. In a community summit, it's a little different. The community generates it. So, Dr. Gale, what you would do is you would let us know that you are interested in a community summit, and then you would begin to gather the people. And the people would gather other people. It has to come from the community. And then you call us forth, and we come in, and the event takes place. Our team leader.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Our team leader for the community summit team is actually called Community and Regional Events, which is CARE. It's an acronym, CARE. And
good choice.
Community and Regional Summit Events. Mm-hmm. And our team leader for that team, and it is a wonderful, wonderful team. Our team leader is John Thomas, and he's a wonderful facilitator. And the team includes wonderful people. Melissa from Canada, and Teresa from New York, and Nancy and Niamo. Nancy's in New York, Niamo's in New Jersey. Carolyn, you met, and Carolyn is from New Orleans. And I hope I didn't leave anybody off. If I did, you know. And Henrietta, I'm on that team as support. And so that's how you do it. You go to blacksummit.org, blacksummit.org, and you just let us know you are interested in a community summit for your community, and we will lead you and guide you through it. You also have my transformative talk at Gmail, so if there's anything that shows up, you can always use that as an email as well. And that's how it begins.
Excellent. I'm taking a breath because it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing what we've gone over today about your transformation workshops, the forgiveness tools, the International Black Summit, and the community workshops that can come, the community summits that can come together, and sharing the blacksummit.org and your email as well, the transformative talk at gmail.com. So thank you, Reverend Henrietta Byrd, for being on the Peace Brain Show today. I so appreciate it. It has been fantastic. So now we're going to step. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I just said thank you. It's been a pleasure, and you are welcome.
Oh, excellent. All right, so everyone take a breath. We're going to spend just a few minutes on a Peace Brain meditation. And I invite you to close your eyes or not, but settle in your chair or wherever you are and be present to yourself. And please give yourself a grounding cord, a grounding connection from your body to the center of Mother Earth, and allow any worries or concerns to flow down that grounding cord into Mother Earth to be recycled, and really be present with yourself this moment. And take a breath. We've talked a lot about your authentic self and being in that space of the void, being in that space of silence. This is your homework because we only have a moment to be silent right at this time on this show. So let's do that. Let's be silent, and then you again later in your own time can do this for a longer period of time. But I invite you to go into the silence for a moment and feel your true divine authentic self, and know that you are a gift to the world. So take a breath and explore who you are. And I'm going to add, as you do explore, I know I'm interrupting and yet guiding, for you to be in that heart space, that beautiful sacred heart, where the inner God, Goddess, all that is, resides. Your knowledge is always there with you. And as you connect with not only your inner knowing, you can, if you choose, from whatever your personal practice is, to connect with the Creator, with the angels, the ascended masters, your guides, your animals, the four directions, the elements and elementals. Be aware there is lots of assistance for you to find who you are. And yet all of those answers are in that void, are in the gap, or in the space between words, between breaths, in that sacred heart of yourself. You are a divine gift to the world. You are here for a purpose. And we are each here to create community on this earth. A community of unity, and that's what community means, come in unity, to come together, to create this world of peace that we each long for, and we long for as a collective. It does exist when we find it within ourselves first, and then bring that wisdom out into the earth, and out into our relationships on this planet. I invite you to celebrate life and to celebrate who you each are and to go and activate your peace brain. So bring yourself back from this short meditation and give back to yourself later to explore more of who your authentic self is and what your gifts are to the world. And to really give yourself permission to actually show up and grant into being what you are built for. And again, I want to thank my guest today, Reverend Henrietta Byrd. And you can find out more about the International Black Summit at blacksummit.org and email Henrietta at transformativetalk@gmail.com. Now, please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many blessings.